Today's Shir is Masechta Yevamos Daf Kuf Chof. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. We had learned in the Mishnah in our previous Shir that even though, as we often discuss in our Perek, that a woman is believed to testify that her husband died, she is not believed for another woman. And therefore, our Mishnah discussed where we had two women, two women that were married to two brothers, each arriving and saying that their husband had passed away. But also, once the husband passed away, each one of these women are a candidate for Yibum. And the only way we could exempt them from Yibum is by believing the sister-in-law who said that the husband died. So there is no nemunus for a woman to get married based on her sister-in-law's testimony that her husband died. And therefore, even though we do believe them that the husband died, they still cannot rely on their testimony, and they can't be sure that their yavam is dead, and therefore they cannot get remarried. However, the Mishnah discussed a case where there were other brothers. And since there were other brothers, for those other brothers who are alive and are very much able to do Yibum, those other brothers will do Yibum, and they will get remarried based on the testimony of, based on that. Now the Mishnah began to discuss where those brothers who did Yibum died. And now the question is, can they get married to anyone else? Because there are no other living brothers, ostensibly. Or again, we're back to where we started. Each woman needs to rely on the testimony of a sister-in-law to establish that her brother-in-law is not alive. And since we can't rely on that testimony, the halacha is they're back to where they started. Or do we say that no? Do we say that once we allow them to get remarried to the brother-in-laws, and now that these brother-in-laws died, we can be assured, Rabbi Elazar's pshat, that their brothers, who their wives said they were dead, are really dead, and there's no need for them to have to wait till we can be sure with Edom that they're not here? Ask the Gemara, by Rava, my time, Rabbi Elazar, what is the reason for Rabbi Elazar's psak? And he's not concerned that we can't rely on the testimony of the sister-in-law. Is it because Mishum the Kosover Tsar Me'eda LaChaverta? Is it because Rabbi Elazar disagrees with the entire premise of what we've been learning? And Rabbi Elazar's opinion is that even when sister-in-laws are saying that their husbands are no longer alive, and based on the testimony of those sister-in-laws, that's why they could get remarried. That testimony will be effective for the sister-in-law, who it's her yavam as well. Adilma mishundehi lo makalkla nafsha. The sister-in-law is saying testimony he's dead. Her husband is dead. The testimony she's offering that her husband is no longer alive is going, if that's not true, it's not just her sister-in-law is going to end up in trouble because of that testimony. She's going to end up in trouble if she ends up getting remarried and then her husband comes, as we go back to what we learned at the beginning of Parakeet Sharabah, Taitse Mizu Mizu. So the Gemara's question is, what is the reason Rabbi Elazar disagrees with the Tanna Kamma? Ask the Gemara, Lamai Nafkamina. The Gemara wants to know, what is the halachic nafkamina between these two explanations? Says the Gemara, the nafkamina will be l'nsuvei tzara mikam dida. Will this tzara be allowed to get married based on the testimony of her sister-in-law before her sister-in-law actually got remarried? I amrit tzara mi'idil chaverta. If we say that Rabbi Elazar's reasoning is that we do believe a tzara, as even if it affects the sister-in-law, so then the halacha is, afgav d'loyin tzibah, even if the sister-in-law has not yet gotten remarried, the Rabbi Elazar is teaching us one sister-in-law could be believed in her testimony as it affects the other sister-in-law as well. That's why misambiyin le'il tzara, she could get remarried. However, I amrit, we're going to say the concern is, because She's saying testimony, and if a testimony is false, even though it doesn't bother her to hurt her sister-in-law, but she would certainly not want to hurt herself, so then the halacha would be, when can we rely on the testimony? Only in Sibah, Mansimila Tzara. She relied on that testimony. So we see that she relied on that testimony. That is a very valid proof that what she was saying is true. But Eloi Ninsaba, if she hasn't gotten remarried based on her own testimony, Leman Sibanla, we wouldn't let her get married to someone else. Mai, what is the halacha? Toshma. So Gemara brings an answer to this question from what Rabbi Elazar said in our Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar, I'm a hoyel behutra liyavmim, hutra lechal adam. So once these women, the example that we explained at the beginning of a shir, got married to other people, they can marry anyone. So Gemara makes this point. Yeah, Rabbi Shlomo, loy mekalkel nafsho, that she's not going to hurt herself. It's not that her sister-in-law she's worried about. She's worried about herself. He loy mekalkel nafsho. Haina, that's why the halacha ought to be in Sabah, that only if the sister-in-law got married based on her testimony, min simen lo, we can let the other sister-in-law get married. Eli armit mishum de tzar mi'idel chaverta. But if you're going to say the reasoning for Rabbi Elazar is much more fundamental, the reasoning for Rabbi Elazar's position is because one tzara could say testimony for the other tzara, then the halacha ought to be that afgav de loy in Sabah, even if she hasn't yet gotten remarried, nami, the other woman, could get the sister-in-law could get remarried based on that testimony. Ella, we see from the case of the Mishnah, Shema mino tam de Rabbi Elazar, the only reason Rabbi Elazar is lenient, mishum de intzabahi, because she got married based on that testimony. The fact that she got married based on that testimony is clearly an indication that that testimony is true, because even if she doesn't mind hurting the other woman, lemakalkal nafsha, says the Gemara, to Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar, that is not necessarily a compelling proof, says the Gemara. This is not necessarily a compelling proof how to understand the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. For we could understand that Rabbi Elazar, l'divrem kamlu, Rabbi Elazar is addressing the Rabbonin, and he's saying to them as follows, l'didi, according to my opinion is, tzar mi'idel chaverta. One tzara could be believed without any question. Afgav d'lo yintzibah, and that trust is there, even if she has not yet gotten remarried based on her testimony. Mansimala, the other one could get married based on her testimony. Elet chu, but says Rabbi Elazar to the Chachamim, that oid lemias, even if you're not ready to agree with my position completely, at least he suggests to them, agree to me, the hecha, the intzaba, if she got married based on her testimony, shouldn't that be a proof that she's saying the truth? And therefore, Mansimala, because the fact that she got remarried based on her testimony is the biggest proof that what she was saying is true. Because if what she was saying was not true, she would never use it for herself. Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan say to Rabbi Elazar, not only don't we agree with you when she didn't get remarried, we don't even agree with you when she got remarried. I, by getting remarried, when she knows what she said is not true, isn't that so damaging? Says the Gemara, as we quoted in our previous year, she takes the approach of Thomas Nafshi and Pelishtin Hidikavda. Shimshon was ready to bring down the house in which the Pelishtin were, even though by demolishing that home, he also caused himself to die. He was ready to do so. And therefore, the Rabbanan say, we ought to be concerned that maybe what this lady said was not true. And even though she got remarried based on her testimony, and now when her husband will show up, as we said, she will be in very serious issue, she's ready to do so because she dislikes the other woman so much that she's willing to hurt herself if the price she'll get, what she'll get for it is to hurt someone else as well. Toshima, so the Brisa says, Hishishokhi Baal Medinas Hayom. A woman goes overseas with her husband. Ubav Amar Meisbal, and she returns and says, my husband passed away. Tinasa, she's entitled to get married. Titak Tsubasa. The Tsubasa, but Tsarasa Asura. The Tsara may not get remarried. Rabbi Elazar Omer Hoyel Vahutrihi, since she got remarried, Hoyel Vahutrihi, since she's allowed to get married, Hutra Nami Tsarasa. So we see that Rabbi Elazar's opinion is that not only may the other woman get remarried, but it doesn't depend on her getting married. As long as she got a heta to get remarried, that is enough. Says the Gemara, it's not a raya. Ema hayva hutvenisis. We have to be concerned that only if she got remarried. The fact that she got remarried based on that testimony is a raya that what she's saying is true. But if she didn't get remarried based on the testimony, that wouldn't be enough. Ask the Gemara, but why should we not be concerned? Ask the Gemara, v'leichish, divan begita soy. Maybe she got divorced from her husband. The husband that she's saying is dead is really not dead. What he did was divorce her. And now that she's saying that the husband is dead, instead of saying the truth that she's divorced, suggests the Gemara, for her to come and hachil kulei tzara himechavna. All she's trying to do is to hurt her tzara. And therefore, she's saying, instead of saying the truth that her husband is alive but divorced her, she's saying that her husband died. By saying her husband died, the tzara will get remarried. And the tzara will get remarried improperly, because the husband is still alive. And the Achroinim point out from here that we see that not only does the dislike of a tzara to a tzara exist while they're both married to the same men. Here, the first one who's saying testimony, according to the Gemara now, falsely, instead of saying her husband is dead and divorced her, she's saying her husband is alive and divorced her. She says her husband is dead. And the only reason the Gemara is suggesting she would say so is just to hurt the tzara. But if she's divorced, they're not tzaras anymore. So we see from here that the dislike continues even after they're not tzaras. Says the Gemara, Yisrael, if we see that she wants to marry or she married a Yisrael Hachinami. Because a grusha is allowed to marry Yisrael. But since a grusha is allowed to marry Yisrael, she may be lied in saying that her husband died, but she's really divorced. However, what is the case that she married a kohen? Now, if she's truly a grusha and not an almana, she's not allowed to marry a kohen. The fact that she married the kohen is clearly a proof that she's an almana and not a grusha. And that's why, says Rabbi Elazar, that she believed not only for herself, but she's believed for the tzara as well. Says the Mishnah Amy Eden, Ella parts upon him. If we want to say testimony that a man is dead, the only way we could say it is by saying that we saw the man's face, imachaitim, with his nose. Api, and says the Mishnah, Api shesh le sima begufay bekelov, even if there's simonim in his body or in his kelim, the halacha is that we can't rely on that. Simonim are something that we can't rely on, as we'll discuss in the Gemara. So we just learned that unless you could see the entire face with the nose, we can't be certain that that is the person who passed away. Says Rabbi Tam, that halacha applies only if the entire body is not there. But if they have the entire body, and there are simonim on the body that show that this is the person that we think who's dead is dead, then the halach is we could rely on it. There are other Rishonim who disagree. And they say, the Mishnah says you always have to have the entire face. Makes no difference if it's attached to a body or not. Says the Mishnah further, Eime Edim, we cannot say testimony until we know that the person is totally non-alive. Afilim Aguyud, even if we saw the person cut into pieces, Rachman al Tzlan, Tzolov, even if he's hanging on the gallows, Chaya, Chelespa, we see an animal eating him. In all of these cases, we still do not rely that the person is dead unless we actually completely see that he's dead. So there's a machloikis, achroinim, when it says over here, that he's hanging, when is the case that we can't say testimony until we see that he's actually no longer here, or when not? Posh pshat in the Mishnah is that unless we actually see that he's no longer alive, one cannot say testimony that he's no longer alive. However, there are those that Achroim that want to differentiate if he's hanging by his hands or hanging by his neck. If it's hanging by his hands, we can't say testimony until he's actually no longer alive. But if he's hanging by his neck, that's certainly something that he will die, and we can't say testimony. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Eimi Edim Ela Ad Shloish Yomim. We can't say testimony until only for the first 3 days that the person is not alive. But afterwards, we have to be concerned that the body decomposed, and therefore, since the body decomposed, we can't be sure who is who. And here, too, Rabbeinu Tam takes a lenient approach. He says the only time we can't say testimony after finding the body after 3 days is if the face is clearly deformed. But if the face is not deformed, even though it's 3 days from when the body was found, the halacha is that we can't say testimony. Most Rishonim and Achronim disagree with Rabbeinu Tam, and they take the din of the Mishnah literally three days. Now the question is, how do we determine the 3 days? The Shulchan Aruch says that even if there was a rumor circulating more than 3 days before the discovery of the corpse that he was no longer alive, that doesn't mean it's more than 3 days since he was found. And the Edom who say that this is this person and he's not alive are believed. The Beis Shmuel says the fact that there was a report that this is more than 3 days since the body was no longer alive is not to be trusted. If we don't have reliable Edom saying that it's more than 3 days, we don't take this approach. However, the Rashbah says, if there's any doubt how long an abandoned body was lying there, we must consider the possibility that it's been there for more than 3 days, because we are now dealing with a situation of Sofik Daraisa L'Chumra. The Masas Binyamin takes the approach that if there's a body that's identified and we know he was alive a day or two before the discovery, the halacha is only then can she get remarried. The Chelkas Mechoikik holds that if we cannot ascertain that the body was lying there for less than 3 days, we always have to be concerned that the identification is inaccurate. And he is even more machmer. Even though he says we don't have any proof that this body was missing for less than 3 days, still, unless we know that this is less than 3 days that the body's been this way, we always have to be concerned that this something happened to this body. And therefore, the Chelkas Mechoikik's opinion is that this 3-day rule is a very, very solid rule. And therefore, we only can rely on it when we know for sure. We can only rely on identification when we know for sure it's less than 3 days. If we can't be certain that it's less than 3 days, we have to be machmer. There's also a question. We started the Mishnah by speaking about the face recognition. There's a discussion amongst the Poskim, what is considered face recognition. Do you have to have the face, forehead, and nose? And it seems that the Shulchan Aruch says that you have to have all three of them to be able to make the identification. The Shulchan Aruch and Evan Ezra Simon Yud Zayin Sifch of Dalad says Matzo Horu Gameis in Padachtoi V'chaytmei V'atzufoi Kayomim. If we have all of them there, the Kerubahem Shuploini Me'idin Lov. It seems that all three are required, and if you don't have all three, it can be considered a proper facial recognition. The Kilas Yaakov from Rabbi Yaakov Melissa seems to take a more lenient approach, and he says that if we have most of the face recognition, even though we don't have all of these different parts of the face that we just mentioned, but most of the face is recognizable, we can rely on the concept that we have throughout Shas of Rubik Kula. And once we have Rubik Kula, most of the face is there, and by recognizing most of the face, we're able to say that this is this individual, that would be enough to be able to be lenient. continues the Mishnah. So our Mishnah has been giving us very specific rules when we can rely on the identification of a corpse and when we can't. Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba Omer, loy kol adam shavim, not all people are the same, v'loy kol makom, and not every place, the climate, the people, the kol shayis shavim, and not all the times are the same, and the Gemara is going to explain this in Mitzvah Shem. Says the Gemara, Tana Abonin, Padachas, what we need, if the Adam saw the forehead, v'loy parts upon him, but they didn't see the profile, they didn't see his cheeks, or they saw parts upon him, they saw his cheeks, v'loy padachas, they didn't see the forehead, eimi eden, atche shneim, you have to have both imachoytim. Omer ba'i v'tem ravkana maikro, what is the pasuk that seems to teach us that is what's required? Because the pasuk says, hakoras p'neim onsobom. And the pasuk of koras p'neim onsobom, the pasuk is a pasuk that's speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates that if a woman had an improper relationship, that her child who's born is a mamzer, and since the child that's born is a mamzer, we cannot rely, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes that this child that's born does not look like this woman's husband, and that will cause that there should be suspicion. Is this child the husband's child? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and the pasuk says, how do we know? HaKoras Ponim. Abba Bamarsadu, Abba Bamanyone, have a mask made the Beiresh Gluse Zuze. They were asked, the Beiresh Gluse said that he owes them money. Isakira, he took some wax. Dovik Bilosoi, he put it on a rag, on a shmat of a tibbik bats pusei, and he put it on his forehead. And by putting it on his forehead, he was able not to look the same. Chalav Kamayun, the Gemara says that they walked by and v'loy bashkru, they couldn't identify him. So again, we see from here that as soon as the forehead does not look like it usually looks, it's not, the forehead has changed, he's not identified. So we learned in the Mishnah, Abishesh Simonim, even if there's Simonim on his body and his kalim, we don't rely on those Simonim. Says the Gemara, Lememra, from here we see that Simonim are seemingly Lav Daraisa, so we can't rely on Simonim. The Gemara Masechta Baba Metzia discusses extensively if somebody loses something and he wants to be able to identify what he lost, can we rely on Simonim? So there's a machloikus there in the Gemara if we can or can't rely on Simonim. What is the basis of the machloikus? The mandam that says Simonim Daraisa says, the pasuk says, V'kein tassel chamayra, v'kein tassel simon losoi. Just like on clothing are identifiable, so all simon are identifiable. The other mandama says that the Torah is saying that just like a similar clothing has an owner, so too does the chamor have simonim, but not to teach us that simonim are deraisa. Furthermore, when we speak about simonim, we need to identify that there are different types of simonim. There's something which is known as a simon muvak. A simon muvak is something clearly proof that this is the way this person looks. A simon, a very strong simon. A simon beinoni is not a very strong simon. The height or the width, the weight of a person is simon beinoni. Simon gerua is like saying that the person had black hair. There are many people with black hair. So the Pnei Shleima asked the question that why are we connecting the question, are simonim reliable or not reliable, from the halacha of Hashavas Aveda? Hashavas Aveda is a question of Dine Mominus. Our Gemara is referring to determine if woman is an Ashes Ish. And here, so that's why the two sugyas are very different. So the Pnei Shleima says, as we're going to see in the Gemara, the mandama that relies on Simonim, even for a get. So we see that if you hold Simonim are reliable, you can rely on them even for the question of Eisus Ish. So our Gemara just said, because Agmar just said we don't rely on simonim. Ask the Gemara, Vrimani, the Braisa teaches us that if somebody sent a get to his wife and he lost the get, and the get was found with different simonim, or nimtza ben kalev, if the get was found amongst the kalim of the shliach, even it's a long time since the get was sent, kosher. We can rely on the get. So isn't this clearly indication that we can rely on simonim? Answers the Gemara, Amabai loy kasha. Harav Elazar ben Mahabai. The Brice that says that we can rely on simonim represents the opinion of Elazar ben Amoy. For ha, our Mishnah that says that we don't rely on simonim is the opinion of Rabbanim. Ask the Gemara, the Tanya, says the Gemara, as we find in a Brice up. The Brice says, Amem Edim al Shuman, that let's say a person had a wart or some sort of a growth, we can't say Edis, that this is that individual based on that. Rabbi Elazar ben Me'idim, says the Gemara, my laugh, what is the basis of the Machalikus? Balkamifki, the mass of a simon and the Raisa, Rabbi Elazar holds that you could rely on a simon. And since he holds that you could rely on a simon, that's why the Shuma, which is unique to this human being, to this person, is something that we could rely on. Or Masover, and the other Mandama holds, Simonim, the Rabbanon, and we can't rely on that. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, there is no compelling reason to say that that is the reason for that Machlaikus. For it could well be the Kul Alma that everybody agrees, the Simonim, the Raisa, that we can rely on Simonim. I watch the Machlaikus by the Shuma. V'och v'shuma mitzui b'mengilai kamifgi. Is it likely that somebody else who is the same as that person, he was born at the same time, and they're very similar people, just like the first person has the Shuma, the other person would have the Shuma as well. Mar sover, the Rabbanah of the opinion, Shuma mitzui b'mengilai. Bengilais have a lot of similarities, and this is one of those similarities. A Mar Sover and a Blesman and Mar Sover, just because the two individuals are Ben Giloy, doesn't mean that they have the same simonim. And since it doesn't mean that they have the same simonim, that's why the simon could be relied on. V'yukadamri, hachav esuma asui l'shtanis lachem misikam afgi. The machlokes here is it likely for there to be a change in a body, person's body after he passes away? Mar Sover, even though the Shuma is a very good simon, it's only a simon as long as the person was alive. But once the person is no longer alive, we have to be concerned that there was a change here. Masav and Rabbi Elazar ben Amoy's approaches, Suma ain't also Lishtanis Lachamisa. We need not be concerned that will happen after he died, and it remains a good simon. V'ikadamri amarav the kula alma, everybody holds that simonim are the rabbonim. But if simonim are the rabbonim, why could we rely on the shuma if we're dealing with a nation's ish? And how could we rely on the suman? It's like the Gemara, as we've mentioned a few moments ago. The question is that, is this considered, is the shuma considered a simon muvet? Because as we said, even if we hold that simonim are the rabbonim, and certainly if we hold simonim of the Raisa, if we have a simon muvik, we can rely on the simon muvik. Mar Savar, Rabbi Elazar ben Amoy holds that this is a simon muvik, or Mar Savar lav simon muvik. And the way most Rishonim learn is that even if there's a question of simonim, the Rabbanon or the Raisa, that's only on simon which is not a simon muvik. But if it's a simon muvik, everybody will agree it's a deraisa. The Shita, however, says a different approach. He says it could be that everybody agrees that simonim are only a drabonim. But when you have a simon muvik, we could rely on simonim to make determinations. Ask the Gemara, lach lishta dom merova simonim deraisa. According to the mandam that says that simonim can be relied on the raisa, we can't rely on simonim. But according to that version, simonim can be relied on. So why don't we rely on them? Answers, the Gemara, as we said before, when the simonim are weak simonim, then everybody agrees we can't rely on the simonim. What does that mean? Gufay oruch v'gutz. a body being somebody being tall or short. There are many people that are tall or short, and since there are many people that are tall or short, height is not a simon. Kalev, or the simon on a keli, is that we're concerned that even if I know that this is his keli, maybe he borrowed it to somebody else. Cheshina l'sheila. Ask the Gemara if that's a concern. Vi cheshina l'sheila. If that's a concern, ask the Gemara. Chamor b'simane ukaf. Do we return a donkey, hashavas aveda, based on his saddle? Hechem adrinon. Why would be not? Why should we be concerned that maybe the saddle, the fact that this saddle, which we know belongs to this donkey, who belongs to this owner, is on the animal, it should not be a simon, because maybe he lent his saddle to somebody else. Answers the Gemara, l'shaili insha ukfa. People don't lend their saddles. The maskele l'chamra, they're concerned that sometimes the animal will, if it won't fit, it will hurt the animal. And since the animal, once it's on another animal, I put it back on my animal, it won't be the right size. And if it won't be the right size now, because it got stretched out or got whatever, it'll be hurt my animal. Another version I saw is that saddles are very much made to fit the exact size of the animal. And if this animal, if another animal wore it, it gets a different shape, and now it won't fit my animal. Ask the Gemara, Matzah Kosh B'Kisah B'Kainik B'Tabas. We've learned earlier in our shir that if the get was found in the different places, we can return it. The question is, Heichem Adrinan, why? Why are they, if we don't, why are they, why can we rely on the simonim? Answers the Gemara, Tabas. Why should we not be worried that maybe he lent his kalim to somebody else? Says the Mar Chabas, Chayish L'Zufay, nobody will rent in those days. They used to use the tabas as a signet ring. And nobody's going to lend that to someone else. Kiss for Anaki, Machshe Inchi. People were superstitious and being very reluctant to lend their wallet, their pocketbook to someone else, and therefore we don't have to be concerned that they were lent out. Vibay Seima, Kalev, when we speak about the Kalim, we're talking about Bechivri Vesumki. The Kalim that we don't rely on is only when the Kalim are black or white. Those are not considered valid Simonim. But under other circumstances, we can rely on Simonim. So Gemara just taught us that under certain circumstances we can rely on simonim, and in certain cases we don't. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch and Eben Ezer, Siman Yud Zayin, discusses if somebody has a type of clothing that only he has that clothing and he never lends it to someone else, the halacha is we can rely on the simonim. And that's why the Mefarshim all point out that when the Shvatim presented Yaakov Avinu with the Ksonim Pasim, then why was Yaakov Avinu convinced that Yosef was dead? Because the Ksonim Pasim was only worn by Yosef. Yosef was the only one that wore Ksonim Pasim, and that's why Yaakov Avinu accepted it as a simon. But I saw that the Chedushei Rim asked, so we're saying that Yaakov Avinu relied on the Ksonis Pasim. It was a unique garment. It was only a garment that Yosef had and Yosef wore, and that's why it's a good simon. But the truth is, it wasn't a good simon because they said the Chai Roch Lasua, but it wasn't a good simon. So says the Chedushei Arim that story was Shloi Kedar Chateva, because the entire fact that Yosef was able to survive what happened there was highly unusual. And therefore, Yaakov, when he said Chai Roach L'Sua, was following what the halacha says. And the halacha is that when you have a strong simon, the halacha is you can rely on that simon. And Yaakov said, I have a good simon. The fact that this whole story was unusual cannot be used as a raya in any way. We learned in the Mishnah, afilo ra maguyad, even if we saw this person body dissected, that's not a raya that he died. Ask the Gemara, Lememra, is that true that we could say the Megud Chai, that somebody who's in that shape could survive? Remino, the Brisa, the Mishnah, Masechta Olos teaches us, Adam Ein Metama, a person who's no longer alive, doesn't give off Tuma Achatei Nafshei until he expires. A feel Meguyed, even if the person was Meguyed, the feel of Geisus, or even if he's a Geisus, a person doesn't give Tuma until he's actually no longer alive. But what is the Diyik? Tumuyulayin Metama, that this is a special halacha in Hilchas Tuma. There's a special halacha in Hilchas Tuma that he doesn't give Tuma until he dies. Hamichya, but the Mishnah clearly is teaching us there that Loichai, he's not going to survive. And so why in our Mishnah can we not say that the fact that the person is Meguyed is a raya that he's dead? Amar Bai Loikasha, Harav Shimon ben Elazar, our Mishnah that says we can't rely on Meguyed is the opinion of Shimon Lazar, HaRabbanan. The Mishnah that says that a Meguyed won't survive is the opinion of Rabbanan. The Tanya Me'idim al Meguyed, Ve'me'idim al Tzolov, somebody who's dissected, we could be sure will not survive, but he was hung, we're not sure. Rav Shimon Lazar, Omer, Afal Meguyed, E'me'idim, M'nei Shiyocha, Likavis Luchyas. He holds that even a person who's dissected can't survive. Ask the Gemara, or me, Matzus Lokmi. How can we explain that our Mishnah represents the opinion of Shimon Lazar? V'ktani, let's continue learning our Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, Maisa Ba'asya. There was a story in Asya where there was an individual who was drowned at sea, Layos V'yadim El Aragloi, and they were only able to retrieve his leg. V'amachamim Menakuva L'mala. If we see that his leg was cut above the knee, so that is a treifa, and the loch is that a treifa loichai, and since a treifa loichai, we can allow his wife to get remarried. Menakuva lamala, but if it's below the leg, the halach is loy tenase, because we could, he's not a treifa, and it's not for sure that he's not going to survive. What do we see from here? That when we have this type of a cut, the woman can get remarried. So we see that this person will not survive. So our Mishnah is not following the opinion of Shimon ben Elazar that always is concerned that a person will survive. Answers the Gemara, you can't bring a raya from that Mishnah. Because there we're talking about that the person was found at sea. And somebody that's found at sea, the water has such a profound effect. Shani marim the marzumaka that hurts the maka. We can't learn from there to any other situation, says the Gemara. Vamarabba bachana ladi chazile ayutaya. I saw this Arab, the shakos of Sira, the gadil gamli. He took a sword and dissected his camel. And the animal continued to make noise. So we see it doesn't die. Amrabai, hik chishahava. It was very weak, but doesn't mean every other animal will necessarily die. Rav Amar, besakim alabels, there was talking about a very hot knife. Everybody agrees that that type of knife does not necessarily kill the person. The Riakol. We learned in the Mishnah, Chaya Chelsboy, if we saw an animal consuming a human being, that's not a raya that he's dead. Omer Yudah Mishmul, Loi Shana Mamakum Shein Nafshi Yotzai. If the animal is eating at the person, not from a part of a person, that if the person was wounded there, he could survive. Aval Mamakum Shein Nafshi Yotzai, if he was being attacked in an organ that you can't survive without, Midin. If the two simonim, the trachea and the esophagus, the kana and the vashir of a person were cut, or even most of them were cut, ubarach, and then he ran away, and we didn't see that the person died, the halacha is that we could say edus, because for sure nobody could survive. Ask the Gemara. Write a get for my wife. And the question is that if he's dead, a dead person can't give a get. It says the Gemara, What we meant to say that he's dead, chayhu, he can survive for a while, but he certainly will not survive. And therefore, when he gave the direction to give the get, the directive to give the get, he was still alive. Elam ato, says the Gemara, if that's the case, that if somebody shecht somebody else, then if that happened accidentally, the loch ought to be yegola yodoy. The loch is if somebody kills somebody else, b'shoigig, He goes to Golis. And the halacha is, Allah Matanya, the Brisa teaches us, Shachat Shnayim or Roiv Shnayim, if that was done, Hareza ain't a Goyla. He doesn't go to Golis. But if he's certainly going to die, why shouldn't he go to Golis? Says the Gemara, Ha'et Mala Amr of Oishia, Chashin Hashem Aruch Bevuta. There, it's the other effect. It's not just the Shechita that killed this individual. The fact that there was air attacking that person contributed to his death. And therefore, we can't bring that's why he doesn't go to Gelas. Inami, all we need to be concerned, Shema ir kiv nisasai. Let's say the person was not sitting still, and that caused him to die. That's why he passed away. Ask the Gemara, my benayu. So what's the difference in the two cases? Says the Gemara, the shachta v'bayis the shisha. He was slaughtered, he was cut in a house that is insulated, but he was still jumping around. So if the issue is ruach, there is no ruach in such a house. If the issue is pirchus, there was pirchus. Inam de shacht bebaro, he was slaughtered outdoors, but he wasn't jumping around. So if the issue is the jumping around, this man wasn't jumping. If the issue is that the ear, there is ear. Rav Yehuda Omer, we learned in the Mishnah that not every situation is the same. Ask the Gemara, what does Rav Yehuda ben Baba mean to say with this? L'kula palig or l'chumra palig? Is he trying to say a kula and saying that sometimes we could, even if after 3 days, or he's trying to say that you can't, even 3 days may be too long? Toshma, says the Gemara, the Hugavar, the Tava, Bir Karmi. And there's a person who drowned in the city of Karmi, Skua Abehedya, and they extracted him to the place Behedya, Labasa Tlasyam, after 3 days, Vinciba, Rav Dima Mador Ludvisi. And Rav Dima Mador allowed his wife to get remarried. Vasu, and there was another episode, Hu Gavad Itba Bediglas. There was a man that drowned in the Diglas River, Vaskua Gishudashipsana, and they took him to this bridge. And Rava allowed his wife to get remarried based on his recognizing the body, even though it was only recognized. Says the Gemara, if we're going to say Rabbi Yehuda is more lenient, so all these different times that they allowed the wife to get remarried was because in the Avik Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, because they were relying on Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. And even Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow more than 3 days. He actually accepts only less than 3 days. So these people who allowed the wives to get remarried even after 3 days of recognition, David Kaman answers the Gemara, we can't bring a rye from there. Mayim dem tzomtzi. The water preserved the person. And since the water preserved the person, even though normally there's a 3 day rule, or Rabbi Yehuda maybe even has less of a rule, here it's different. But ask the Gemara v'Amrit, haven't we said earlier in our shir, Mayim Marzamaka, that the Mayim aggravates something. And I was saying that the Mayim preserves. Answers the Gemara, Hani Mili Dika Maka. When there is a Maka over there already, the water aggravates it. But if there was no Maka, the water preserves. This that we're being lenient, says the Gemara, is we saw the body immediately as it was extracted from the water. So even though it was extracted more than 3 days after it fell into the water, we're saying that the water preserved it. Aval ishtai, if we don't identify the body right away, once we don't identify the body right away, what happens is the body immediately mispach safich. The body starts to swell up. And once the body swells up, it's no longer recognizable, and therefore we can't say any more testimony. There's an interesting question that the Rishonim debate. What would be that it's more than 3 days, but like we're learning, the body was in the water, but the body did not, it was extracted, and we're saying that the water preserves it, but it was extracted and it didn't yet begin to swell. When can't we rely? Does it mean as immediately after we take the body out, we have to do the recognition? Or as long as the body didn't swell up, we could still rely on a recognition.